praise God. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing dealing with the prayer closet. I don't believe there's anything more wonderful, a more wonderful place than the prayer closet. I don't believe anything is more neglected than the prayer closet. I believe many of the things that we go through needlessly in this room, in your life, is because we neglect the prayer altar. If we neglect the prayer altar, there's consequences. If we give ourselves to the prayer altar, there is blessings. And I believe there's many things that you and I suffer because we neglect the place of prayer. It doesn't come without a cause. We may say, why this or why that? I want to tell you the reason is very often that we have not prayed as we ought to have. If we would have prayed as we ought to have, rather we have fainted so often, as we dealt with last time, of that woman persistently asking, pleading her cause. And if we would have done that, saints, there's many things that wouldn't have come upon us. But we let us move on here tonight. And that my message tonight is finding your daily bread in the prayer closet. Finding your daily bread in the prayer closet. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, and I want to read a few more verses than normal, but let's read the word of God. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Then let's move down just a bit further to verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of your body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, that what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Saints, what a wonderful thought. You are far more than them. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's just pray together. Let's look for God to bless his word, just to feed us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to satisfy us. And even in this room tonight, that our eyes would be lifted off ourselves, our own needs, our own circumstance. We won't be worrying about tomorrow or things of this year, but we're going to have our eyes firmly fixed on our Heavenly Father. Let's look for the grace of God to even descend in this gathering tonight. Let the grace of God come down to you, even as we gather around the word. Let the grace of God, let faith come into your heart. Let a revelation even come from your Heavenly Father. He wants to speak to you tonight in this room. He wants to help you. He wants to enable you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you against every fear and doubt and concern and worry and burden. He wants to carry your burdens tonight, and by faith we can come to him. Father, I just pray tonight, make us of one heart and mind and spirit. We ask for your blessing on your word. We're not coming to a religious gathering. We're not coming to a sermon. We're not coming, nor God, to be educated in the mind. We come here because we need to be fed of our Heavenly Father. My God, I'm asking that you break open the word of God, that you bless it, that you anoint it, that you feed it. Feed us, Lord God. You know what we need in this room. We're living our real life. We're facing real problems. My God, we have real fears, and we have to fight even unbelief itself. Lord God, I'm asking that you encourage us and strengthen us, and even in this room tonight, let a revelation of the very heart of our Heavenly Father even be revealed in our midst, that you receive all of the glory and all of the praise, that we might rejoice in you, that we might not be cast down with concerns and worries, but oh God, our heart will be lifted with faith and expectation and joy and trust in you tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. My message, finding your daily bread in the prayer closet. Finding your daily bread in the prayer closet. As we have read many other nights, we read in verse 5 of this chapter, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We are dealing with the prayer closet, but tonight specifically, finding your daily bread in the prayer closet. We read here concerning this prayer closet that it's a place that we go to pray. There's an actual place called the prayer closet. It's a certain time, it's a certain place, and we specifically go there to pray unto our Heavenly Father. We've already looked at how we are not to pray and how we are to pray. But let's note that we are taught by Jesus Christ that when we go into the prayer closet, we are given the Lord's Prayer as a type and a means to help us to know and to understand how to pray. And we are taught in the Lord's Prayer concerning praying for your daily bread. He says, pray, when you pray to your Heavenly Father, pray in this manner. You're to actually ask him for your daily bread. Now that term, daily bread, actually means that which you need every day. Not which is basic to your survival. Not which is elementary. Those things that are very practical and very physical, and they are very real, genuine needs. Financial needs, physical needs, practical needs. It's not even talking about spiritual things. It is actually talking about natural things. Look at what it says in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He doesn't say your daily basic physical, financial, and even the clothes on your body. That's beyond me. You shouldn't be thinking about it. He doesn't say that. He actually says, I want you to come daily and carry the burdens and the needs into the prayer closet. Don't leave them outside. Bring bring them into the prayer closet. Christ actually teaches that we ought to pray about our daily bread, about the very food on our table. There's no sin in that. It's not carnal. It's not immature to pray for bread on your table every day. He actually says it's very honorable to your Father, because you're saying all my provision comes from my Father. It's not just the labor of my hands. It's not just my boss out there paying my bills. It's not just the government. It's not those around us. It is actually my Heavenly Father. When we go into the prayer closet and pray, Father, I'm asking for my daily bread today. I'm asking for my next meal. It actually means that you in your heart sincerely and genuinely believe that behind all the provision around you is God the Father. When you sit down to a meal, breakfast or lunch or dinner tomorrow, when you sit down and bow your head and say, Father, thank you for my daily bread, you're actually acknowledging that it's not just the labor of your hands, it's not just your diligence to go out and work, it's not your pay packet or your boss. You're actually acknowledging that behind all of these things is your Heavenly Father faithfully taking care and providing for you. Yes, he commands us to work. Yes, he says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. He says all those things. But behind all the provision is your Heavenly Father. And saints, praying for even the bread on your table isn't below God. It is actually a very practical and real thing. Do you realize the prayer altar or the prayer closet is actually a place where you pray for your daily bread? This is something that God wants you to bring unto him. Your basic needs, your every need, your daily needs are to be presented before him. You are not to carry them yourself. You're not to carry them in a way that you're trying to work out how to meet all your needs. You're meant to come in prayer. The most practical thing to do concerning your practical needs is to pray about them, to bring them to one who is concerned about you, who loves you, who saved you, who is your Heavenly Father, and he will take care of you, saints. He will make full provision for you. Notice here that in the Lord's Prayer, after praying about God's kingdom and his glory and the honor of his name, we begin to deal with issues related to us. But I want you to notice the order of them here. He doesn't begin with spiritual things or even issues of temptation or issues of the devil. Actually, he, in teaching us how to pray, in verse 11, he begins with your daily bread, the practical things of life. Notice, secondly, he then goes to forgiving our debts, to forgiving others, or to pray and say, Father, will you forgive my debts? Will you forgive my sins? Do you notice that he puts praying for your daily bread before praying for forgiveness of your sins? Isn't that remarkable? That he actually, in Christ's teaching, he doesn't say that it's more important to have your sins forgiven. Do you know what I believe? He doesn't want you going to the prayer closet worried and weighed down with practical things. He said, let's deal with this and then let's get to the spiritual issues. We've got the floor clean. And I believe this is often the way. You know, if a man comes in and he's starving, we better feed him before we give them the gospel, saints. We're gonna, if we care about that man's soul, we're gonna meet his need and then tell him, let me tell you about a wonderful Christ. All I've done is provide a meal for you, but I want to tell you one who died for your sins. There's no point in just saying, God bless you, you go on your way. We've told you the gospel, but we've never helped him practically. And I believe this is the heart of God. He says, I don't want you weighed down with practical burdens are the daily worries. I want to get that out of the way and say, I'm going to meet your needs and I know about your concerns. Now let's move on to spiritual things. Notice that after praying for daily bread, then you deal with praying for forgiveness. And you go further. In verse 13 it says, lead us not into temptation, deliver us not into evil. Notice that first of all comes daily bread. Then praying, Lord, deliver me from temptation. Lord, deliver us from evil. Notice the priority here that God does take seriously. Your practical needs. Your job this year. God takes that serious. Your bank account. Your provision. Your needs. All of these things God does care about. And He makes provision. Where does He make provision? In the prayer closet. He says, every day, daily, I want you to go to the prayer closet and say, Father, I have genuine needs. Now you may go in there and not have needs. You may not have any practical needs that you need to bring before God. And that is just fine. But He is making provision that as soon as you enter in there, after glorifying the name of Christ, after seeking His kingdom, get down to business and say, Father, I've got some needs here that I want to lay out before You. I want to get this out of my mind. I want to get this off my shoulders. And then let's get down to prayer and to seek the kingdom of God in my life. Since He does want to carry your burdens. What does the Bible say? Cast all of your care upon Him. Do you know what the word care there means? It's got three meanings in the Greek. The first one actually means to have your mind pulled in two different directions at the same time. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in life where a situation arises and you're being pulled? The second meaning of that word is anxiety. Anxiety, you know what anxiety is? Have you ever felt anxiety? Well, what does the Bible say? You're to carry your anxiety and be spiritual. No, all of those worries in your mind, all of those concerns, all of those weights and burdens, you're actually to bring them to God and you're to cast them. Do you know His shoulders are bigger than yours? You aren't meant to carry your own burdens. You are not sufficient to carry your own burdens. You were never meant to be so big, so spiritual and so strong that you can carry all the cares and burdens of your life. You're not meant to be able to manage. Too many in the church are trying to pretend, are trying to stretch to an extreme of carrying all the burdens. Your shoulders are not big enough. That's why the Bible says, take all of your cares, your anxieties, those things that are pulling you in two directions at the same time. Your mind's being pulled in different directions. You want to get focused on the Lord, but here's your mind being pulled over here. He says, cast all your cares upon Him. Because, and this is the reason you do it, because He cares for you. Do you know God cares for you tonight? Do you know He cares for you so much that He wants you to bring all of your problems, all of your practicalities to Him and to cast them on His shoulders? He wants to carry them, saints. He doesn't want you carrying them. They will weigh you down. They will quench your spirit. They will fill you with fears and doubts and worries. You're going to be filled with a thousand questions. He said, bring them to Me. Cast them on Me. I want to carry them for you. Can you imagine? I've got a 10-mile walk. Or let's make it further. I'm going to walk to Dublin. And there's a man who says, I'm coming with you. And I've got a rucksack, a heavy rucksack in my bag. I'm going to walk all the way to Dublin. And that man with me says, you know what? I'll carry that for you. Oh no, I'll carry it myself. 10 miles down the road, I'm going to regret that. I may not tell him. I'll stubbornly try to press on going, I can do this, I can manage, I can carry my own burden. And there's someone walking with me the whole way saying, will you not let me carry that? Will you not let me? No, I'm managing. I'll be just fine. As that weight gets heavier every step of the way. Since we are often like that as believers. We are trying to be spiritually strong enough to carry the burdens. You're not meant to be. You're meant to come as a little child to your Heavenly Father. You're meant to come to Him recognizing your weakness, your inability, your frailty. The daily I can't manage in my Christian life. I can't even manage in my practical life. I can't even catch a flight. You know, all through the years, I gained great faith traveling, going on flights. I went, Father, I can't even make the flight. I can't even do basic things. I rely on You even crossing the road. I'm reliant on You. That's what the whole Christian life is meant to be. And why do you think that God has created our life, that we've got to pray every day for our daily bread, that we've got to go in there? Oh, but I could work for it. I don't need to go and pray or ask him. I can just go and work. I can make it myself. I'm a self-made man. I'm not so feeble a Christian that I've got to pray for my daily bread. I'll just go out and get it. Do you know why that we are here in the prayer closet saying, Father, I have got simple basic needs. It's an act of dependence. Prayer is an act of dependence. Show me the times you don't pray. I'll show you that you have unbelief in believing that God will answer. But more than that, you actually are stubbornly thinking you can manage without him. You actually think that you're able. That's why you don't pray. That's why you don't, I'm doing okay. But let a storm come. Let a period of darkness. Let hell break in your life. I tell you, you'll be back in that prayer closet very quickly.
Yeah.
Because suddenly you realize your inability. You see, in the Old Testament, the Lord dropped manna in the wilderness 40 years every day in the wilderness. He didn't do it just once a week. He didn't drop a stockpile for a month or a week or 2 days. It was every single day. Do you know what he was saying? You're going to be made reliant on me. Oh, you can store up for 2 days, but it's going to be filled with worms. It'll rot. You can go back to it. It won't be there. You're going to be made absolutely reliant upon me. And that's why here he teaches us, when ye pray, pray in this manner. Father, give me my daily bread. This is how we're meant to pray. We are taught to pray for our daily bread. This is a wonderful thing that I come to my Father and say, I'm not looking to my boss or my efforts. I am trusting you for all of my needs, for every decision, for every practicality of life. If you begin to read, as we have done this chapter 6, you'll see that money has a lot to do with this chapter. This is Christ teaching his disciples about the prayer closet. There's three things that are mentioned in this chapter. Money, prayer, and fasting. These are the three great things tied together, because I believe these three things reveal a lot about your heart. Money reveals a lot about your heart. Prayer reveals a lot about your heart. Fasting reveals a lot about your heart. And the same things are taught for these three things. All three things Christ warns about hypocrisy. He warns about our heart attitude. He actually teaches there's a right way to do these things and a wrong way. Saints, you can get two people giving alms, praying or fasting. They do the same thing. They look the same. They sound the same. They act in the same way. And yet it is radically different because of the motive of the heart. When you pray, it's not the act of praying, it's the motive behind it that can either make it acceptable to God or disqualify it. It's the same with fasting, but we also find it with money. Notice here in chapter 6 how Christ teaches or begins to deal with money. Where does he actually begin? In verse 1 it says, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Now what is alms? Or alms given? This word alms actually means compassionate. That's what the word literally means. It actually means the act of compassion, or what compassion actually produces out of your life. It means to bestow goods upon the poor, or to feed those who are poor or who do not have food to eat. So almsgiving is the act of giving money or food or provision or clothes to those who do not have. Now notice here, like with prayer and fasting, Jesus actually teaches when. In verse 2 he says when. In verse 3 he says when. He doesn't say if. Do you know almsgiving is to be a normal part of your Christian life? To give actually out of compassion to the poor or to the man or woman who doesn't have is a part of Christianity. It is a normal, healthy part of Christianity. If your heart is so hard that you don't care about the man on the streets, then you are hard indeed. Your Christianity means nothing. If we have a man come in who has no food, he has no money, He has none to drink, nowhere to sleep. No, his clothes are terrible in his body. And we simply give him the gospel and send him out. You're heartless. That's what the Bible teaches. There is actually something fundamentally wrong with your Christianity. It says this is true religion. That we look out for the widow and the orphan. We have a heart for them. We have a genuine, sincere heart. Notice here that in Matthew 6, where does God start dealing with money? Does he begin with the realm of your needs? No. Before he comes to your needs, he actually begins to deal with the needs of others. Before he actually teaches you about coming to the prayer closet and praying for your daily bread, he's actually teaching you, you're meant to provide the needs of others. Let me quote from a particular writer of many years ago. Listen to what it says. It says, God made the sun, it gives. God made the moon, it gives. God made the stars, they give. God made the air, it gives. God made the clouds, they give abundantly in Ireland as well. God made the earth, it gives. God made the sea, it gives. God made the trees, they give. God made the grass, it gives. God made the flowers, they give. God made the bees, they give. God made the fowls, they give. God made the fish, they give. God made the beasts, they give. God made the plan, he gives. God made us, we question mark. Do you see what that author was saying? Don't know who he was who wrote it. But you know what he's saying? All of God's creation, God has created everything to actually give. Everything he creates, where his abundance is, God is a God who gives. He has given and given and given. He gave the life of his son. He gave his son to die on a cross for you. He has given you abundantly. If he didn't hold back his son, what good thing will he hold back from you? He has given you everything. And you know what? He has created us to be givers. You cannot separate this issue of giving or meeting the needs of others from prayer. Do you think God will meet your needs or answer your prayers if your heart is shut against those who have need? If you store up your sin, well, if I give this, I won't have for me. I've got to think about myself. I tell you, your prayers will be barren. You will not have prayer in the prayer closet to meet your own needs. Show me someone who is so thinking about themselves that they refuse to meet the needs of others. They have no compassion for those that do not have. I'll show you a man who has no faith in the prayer closet. You'll see that it affects you if you're not willing to give and give out of your lack. Or to give to those in need, you will get to the prayer closet and find that the heavens are shut on you. Do you think your heavenly Father is going to be abundantly open unto you if you shut your heart to those who are in need? If a man who doesn't have a bed to lie on at night, or a house, or food to go in his belly, do you think that God is going to meet your one meal whenever you do not care about those who do not have? We need to be very careful in our heart attitude. And we've been very strong in this church about not being foolish. We are very wise in this. But let's not swing to an extreme. We as a church, we do meet the needs of those in need. We are to be almsgiver. Are you an almsgiver? Do you actually give financially? Or do you give something to those who do not have? Do you have a burden? Do you have a burden to take the man sleeping on the street into McDonald's or into some other place and to feed him? Do you have a desire in the coldness of winter to go and buy him a hat or to go and buy him a scarf? Or is your heart too spiritual? This has got everything to do with the prayer closet. When we go into the prayer closet, no use being nice and spiritual if we haven't been practical. If we're not practical with others, why get all spiritual in a spiritual atmosphere or in prayer? Why pray nice prayers when we know our heart is such that it isn't open to give? Notice what Jesus teaches. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. You see, you can have two men doing alms. One is accepted by God and will be rewarded. The other isn't. They give the same money to the same needs. They're doing the same thing in the same way. They give the same amount, but one is accepted and one is rejected. Why is it? It's the heart motive. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that if a man bestows all of his goods to feed the poor and has not charity, it doesn't profit him anything. He could give everything to the poor, but if it isn't out of the right motive, oh, he might be a Christian. He's born again. He knows he's on his way to heaven, but he gives all of his good to the poor. He pours out all of his wealth, but it's not out of love. It's with the wrong motive, and the Bible says it won't benefit him. Jesus goes further with this, says, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. There is a reward for alms given. Do you know that God takes note of it? He says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you do it for men, if you do it for one another, if you do it for me, you have no reward. Your one focus has to be, I've got money, I've got possessions, I actually wanted to give it to those in need. Why? Because of my Heavenly Father. He has put a heart in me. I want to live my life unto Him, not unto man. I want to have an open hand before my Father. Why would I close my hand to those in need when He gives me bountifully? He doesn't put any limit on what He gives to me, does He, saints? He forgives your sins. He has saved you from an eternal hell. He answers your prayers. Why then would you close your heart to somebody? If somebody comes and asks of you help, why would you close your heart whenever you know what God does to you? Can you imagine the Father closing His heart to you because He says you don't deserve it? Are you deserving of Him answering any of your requests? I very much doubt it. Notice here that Christ does deal with this giving of all that we have. Saints, if you have a heart that gives and gives and gives, an open heart, a tender heart of compassion to the needs of others, I promise you, when you get to the prayer closet, your Heavenly Father will answer your prayers. You don't need to be in doubt. If I have an open heart, I can be assured that I will receive. If money can go through you, He'll make sure it gets to you. That's a reality. And you act in faith. If I give, I'll never be in debt. If I give to God's work, if I tithe, give my offerings, and give alms, I'll never be in need. If I put God first in my finance, I will never lack all the days of my life. Amen. I might be under pressure. I might be under trials. I might even begin to sweat in the prayer closet. But He'll always provide my needs. I'll always find Him. He might stretch me, He might test me, but He'll never be too late. He will provide all my needs. He'll meet all my needs, and He'll be there at the right time, doing the right thing, to provide in remarkable ways. And you can have such a faith, saints. You need that faith, but be sure that you have alms given in place first. This affects the prayer closet. I believe many have become dry in their prayer because their heart has become hardened to others. You can't have a hard heart to the man on the streets, but a soft heart towards God. That heart towards the sinner will be reflected in the prayer closet. How can you really believe God will answer your needs if you're not tender enough to listen to Him saying, feed that man, yeah, or help that man? If you're tender in that, surely you can have faith that He will meet all of your needs according to His riches in glory. That is the first great principle of this chapter, is alms given. He wants you to be rewarded for your alms given. And what better place than when you go into prayer, you know that your Heavenly Father will hear you and answer your prayers. Your prayers, that's what He wants. Moving to verse 19, he goes further in this principle. He begins to deal with this issue of God or mammon. You see, you're going to have to settle this issue of God or mammon. And believe me, in this chapter, it's no accident. So much is taught about this issue of money, our daily provision, our finance, or your practical needs. It's got everything to do with prayer. Everything. And it's got everything to do with God answering prayer. If you're going to be provided for in the months and the years ahead and until you go to heaven, it's an issue of prayer. Do you realize you could lack financial things or practical things because you don't pray? Because you're not in there praying, relying on the Father, you could find yourself stuck without what you need. But yet you know if you're in that prayer closet, He will meet your needs. You have an assurance. But He moves on to this issue of God or mammon. Now, what is mammon? Mammon was the name of the heathen god for riches. Mammon was the pagan god who provided all your riches. There was an idol. There'd be a statue. And his name was mammon. Now, no Christian's going to set up an idol of mammon, are they? They're not going to have this statue on their shelf of this black statue and say, He is mammon. Now, I love the Lord, but I'm praying to mammon to meet all my needs. We would never do that. We don't slip into the Freemasons. I hope not anyway. We don't slip into the Freemasons going, there's new good contacts in here. I can make a good way for myself. I need to think of this. Yes, I love the Lord, but I've got my good contacts in there, so I'll be taken care of financially. You don't do that. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't imagine. But you know what? There's idols of the heart. Idols are more than statues on the wall or statues on the shelf. Idols are attitudes of the heart. And beginning in verse 19 down to 24, Jesus actually begins to deal with this issue of, in your heart, are you serving God or are you serving mammon? Do you know that this issue of money and finance and provision deals with the very depths of your heart? If you show me a man his attitude of money, I'll tell you everything about him. Yeah. If you show me how he acts, what he keeps back, what he gives, it reveals an awful lot about him. It reveals your attitude to God. You cannot separate your attitude to money from your attitude to God. What your attitude to money is your attitude to God. If you make an idol out of money and provision and having and possessions, I'm going to tell you that reflects on your relationship with God. But if you're actually free of the love of money, which every leader is absolutely to be, if you're free of the love of money, if your heart is free of covetousness, it reveals a lot about your heart towards God. In verse 19 it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. In verse 20 it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You've got a choice here. If you're serving the God of mammon, you store up on earth. Your focus is of this life, of this lifetime, of this earth, and of practical physical things. That is your God. If you're serving mammon, or if mammon is a God in your heart, then you're going to live for those things. You will be storing up in heaven. That will be the reason you work. That will be the reason you labor. That will be the motive. That will be the thing that stirs you. Is this thought of your provision on earth in your lifetime. But saints, you're not meant to be serving mammon. Or your workplace. Or any other thing. You're actually meant to go to your prayer closet to keep your heart right. You see, if a man is in his prayer closet and he's trusting God and his focus is on God, he will be free of mammon. He'll be free from an attitude of storing up on the earth. And Jesus begins to deal with this. He says, if you store up on the earth, if you lay up your treasure on earth, the moth and rust doth corrupt it. Do you know a moth's a small thing, isn't it? You could give your entire life to everything in this world. I want to tell you, the moths are after you. Rust is coming after you. The thieves are after you. There'll be plenty of people out there eyeing up what you have. Leave your car door open. They're coming for your car or your possession or your GPS. They're coming for it. Do you realize if your focus is this earth, you've got 1,000 enemies coming after to steal what you have. But if you make God your focus and you store up in heaven, all hell cannot steal what you've got. On the day that you breathe your last breath, you will enter into a wonderful inheritance. You'll go, I send it all up here. No moth can rot it. A moth is a small thing, but no moth can steal my inheritance. Where is your inheritance? Is it on the heaven? Is it in heaven or is it in earth? Jesus is laying this out. He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. What's most precious to you? You see, what your heart is set on, that is your treasure. Many people say, God is my God, but I'll put a job before him, I'll put a house before him, I'll put a car before him, before I tithe, I must pay all my bills. That's an issue of priority. That's where your heart is or your treasure is. You actually don't believe God will provide for you, so you've got to store up for yourself. You've got to make sure that you meet all of your needs, that you do the right job, that you do everything correctly, and that you store up on earth. You don't have faith that God will provide for you. You don't believe that he'll have a pension for you, or he can meet your needs in some dire circumstance. You actually believe you have got to carry this. And since I have watched people live to these ends, said, I'm a believer, I love the Lord, but I've got to think of all these things. They have a heart attack early and they never enjoy it. They put themselves in a grave. What they don't realize is the atmosphere of this world has affected them. The thinking and attitude of this world has affected them. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart is in heaven. If I go, I'm not living for things down here. I don't care where I live. I don't care what country I live in. I don't care about the car, the house, as long as I have my daily bread. I don't care about it. Your heart is in heaven. That's where your priority is. But show me a man who's focused on this earth. I'll show you a man. That's where his heart is. That's where his heart is. He goes further in verse 23. He says, but if thine eye be evil. Sorry, verse 22. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, or if it be good, or if it be pure, your whole body will be filled with light. What's he saying? Wherever your eye is, your focus, your vision, your attention, your concentration, wherever it is, it fills your body. Saints, if you're absolutely consumed with the things of this life, your whole life will be filled with that. If that's where your eye is, worrying about everything, that is going to affect your whole life. Yeah. If you don't get into that prayer closet and get rid of that burden and lay the cares on Christ, it's going to affect your entire life. It'll affect your actions. It'll affect your decisions. It'll affect where you go and what you do. If you don't get into the prayer closet and lay squarely on him all of your needs, your burdens, your concerns, then you're going to start acting in the flesh. You're going to take these things in your own hand. You're going to start thinking carnally and naturally. It won't be spiritual anymore. But if your eye be single, your whole body will be filled with light. If my treasure is in heaven, if I've gone to the prayer closet daily, if I put all my burdens on him, I am a free man. I'm not bound by the things of this world. I'm not going to be going to pulpits preaching, now I better be careful what I preach. Need to be very careful. Or in my job, I need to be careful. If they're criminals, if they're doing things crookedly, well, what's that got to do with me? Turn a blind eye. I need the job. You're caught by mammon. If you won't stand for what's right, then you're caught by mammon. You're actually caught. You don't realize it. You still go into the prayer closet. If you truly laid the burden on God, you would have said, that's wrong. That's wrong. I'm not going to be a partaker. I can't turn a blind eye. I don't care what it costs me. I'm a free man. Saints, the prayer closet sets you free from worries and burdens and the snare of man. It's a terrible thing when you're actually snared by the fear of man. You're scared about your future. You're scared about tomorrow. You're scared about who's going to provide for you. You're snared. That's going to affect your actions. You better get rid of that. You better cast it on him. It says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. This has been a very powerful and a very precious scripture to me in my life. This scripture ought to be engraved on your mind. You ought to memorize it. You ought to know it. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. Either God is preeminent in your life, or mammon is preeminent in your life. What is mammon? It's all the other means of getting money. Either God is the source of your daily provision, or mammon is. You will have to make a choice. You've got to make sure that God is preeminent. You can't merge all this. God has to be preeminent over all things. He goes further. From verse 25 to 34, he finishes this section, which we are going to finish with. He begins to give practical advice about this. He wants you relying on him. He wants you trusting him. He wants you praying in faith that God will meet all of your needs. He says in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. He says, look, lift up your eyes. Stop what you're doing. Look, behold, take a look at the fowls of the air. I want you to stop. This is Christ teaching. Think about it. He had multitudes of people around and he says, stop right now. Look up at the birds in the air. Look at the ravens. I want you to consider them. They don't reap. They don't gather. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds the birds? Who looks after the robin during the winter? Who actually has a heart within him? And he looks down. We may not even as Christians. Your heart may not be moved with compassion to the little robin at the back door. I hope you give it a wee bit of bread in the winter. Hope you look after the wee creatures out there. You know why? Because that's the heart of my Father. He actually looks down on the birds. What does Christ say? He says, my heavenly Father cares about the birds. I'm not being foolish tonight, saints. I'm not being silly here. This is what Christ teaches. He says, my heavenly Father looks after the bird of the air. It's real. He's looking them to stop and to consider that if God the Father cares about the birds of the air, and he does care about them, does he not care about you? Does he not care about where you live? Does he not care about your daily provision? Does he not care how you're going to feed your children? Of course he does. If he cares, if God the Father actually has a heart for the birds, he does have that heart for us. And he goes further here. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's talking about a very practical need. He's talking about the clothes on your body. He's actually talking about your physical clothes. He's talking about meeting your needs, that you have clothes on your body. And he says, I want you to stop. He actually says, consider the lilies. Do you know what the word consider actually means? It means to stop what you're doing. Shut everything else down and to set your focus on the lilies and to consider them thoroughly and deeply. Jesus told you to do that. Have you done it recently? Have you sat down in front of a lily and say, I'm going to consider thoroughly how my heavenly Father provides for you better than he provided for Solomon? I'm going to thoroughly consider this. Jesus taught us that you are to do this. You're to consider the birds. You're to consider the lilies. How God covers them in wondrous colors. He provides for them. He says, "O ye of little faith," if you don't trust your Heavenly Father, it's lack of faith. If you think this is just mystical teaching that I'm telling you, or that Jesus puts here, if you think this isn't real, then you have little faith. If he looks after the plants of the field, what is a lily? It's not a living thing. It has life, it has a certain type of life, but it doesn't have a living soul. It doesn't have eyes, it doesn't have ears, it doesn't have a mind, it doesn't have emotions. And yet God the Father cares about it. And you actually doubt at times concerning him providing for you. You actually struggle at times to go, will all my needs be met? Will he guide me? Will he lead me? Will he help me? And yet there he is looking after the plants of the field. What a faithful God. This is what Christ is teaching those in the prayer closet. He says, I want you to go into the prayer closet with this in your heart and mind. I want you to go to prayer asking for your daily bread, knowing that your Father has such a heart. You've got to know his heart or you won't ask him. And you won't believe that he'll provide for you. You'll be in there worrying. You'll go in and pray, Father, meet my needs, and you'll go out and worry about it. And you'll carry the burden of it, and it'll drive you into the ground, and your mind will be filled with anxiety. He says, I don't want that. When you go into that prayer closet, I want you to know that your Heavenly Father looks after the birds and looks after the lilies. He clothes the lilies and he provides food for the birds of the air. And he'll do the same for you as sure as anything. Amen. It's the same Father, the same God. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Do you realize these are the three basic elements of daily provision? When we pray for our daily bread, what is the level of our sufficiency? At what level should we be happy, or content, or satisfied? How much is enough? What provision should you say, that's all I need, I don't need any more. If I get more, I'm glad. But if I get below that, I ought to be saying, the Father, you said you'd provide. It's these three realms. Your food, that's what he says there. Your drink and your clothes. And I believe clothes also includes a roof over your head. He actually said, if you don't have food in your table, you ought to be saying, Father, I need food. I need drink, I need raiment, I need a house to live in. If you have those things, you ought to be content. I believe many Christians in the church have those things and they're not content. They think they have too little. They're going, I'm a very poor man. I don't have much. You have more in this room than ancient kings have. Yeah. Queen Victoria didn't have a shower on her corridor. Queen Victoria didn't have pipe and hot water piped all the way up to her bedroom. Yeah. She didn't have it. We have luxuries beyond imagination. Beyond imagination. Yeah, this is the realm of our utter satisfaction. We see how perverted then the prosperity gospel is. They want to be rich. They want bigger cars. That exceeds the teaching of the Bible. The Bible does not allow that. You're meant to have a heart that's satisfied. Are you satisfied tonight, saints? Are you dissatisfied? If you have food on your table, you ought to be saying, thank you, Father. I am satisfied. If we're always looking to be richer, better, or to have more, it's a dangerous place. He says, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? He says, don't take thought about them. Your raiment, don't take thought. Your food, don't take thought. Having drink every day, don't take thought. Is he saying you shouldn't pray about it? No, you're meant to pray. Is he saying you shouldn't make plans or provision? No, you ought to. What does he mean when he says, don't take thought about raiment or food? He means don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. Don't be filled with cares, because the world out there does that. They don't have a God like you have. Can you imagine worrying about these things like all your relatives, and yet you have a God, a Father in heaven?
Yeah.
You're born again, saved, and yet you worry like they worry. You think like they think. You plan like they plan. And yet you say you have a Father in heaven and you're going to spend eternity with them, but you act like sinners. You think like sinners. You worry like sinners. And he said, you ought not to be like this. You ought not to worry. He says in verse 33 in closing, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do you know most things people worry about never come to pass? It's a fact. It's a fact. Most things you have worried about, most never happened. Even in the world, it's the same as true. Even for sinners, most things they worry about never happen. Don't worry about these things. God does not want you to worry. He wants you to be in the prayer closet saying, Heavenly Father, you're my Father. You care about me. You care about my provision. And today, this day, I trust you. My heart is a heart of trust. I have faith in my heart. And I'm casting all my care upon you. Because you don't want me walking with it through this day. You don't want me weighed down with burdens and anxiety and fears and doubts. You want me to trust you. Since this ought to be the heart that we have. Of trusting God for all of our provisions, all of our daily provisions. Let's stand together here. Oh, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord God, even tonight we just join our hearts. We agree together. Father, I'm asking that you meet every need in this room. You are our heavenly Father. My God, we want to stop and consider, Lord God, your heart for the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, Lord God, for the lily, Lord God, in the fields. My God, our God cares about these things. My God, even tonight I want to cast every care, every concern on you. Father, I pray, Lord God, help us by your grace and your mercy to trust you, to believe in you, Lord God, to have faith in you, and Lord God, by prayer, daily asking you to make provision, Lord God, that we won't carry the cares of this life. I'm asking, oh God, that you'd lift every burden off us, that we are going to walk in simplicity of faith in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, we bless you, we magnify you, oh God.